Okay, everybody, I sound like shit today. And yes, I'm going to have to hit the explicit thing because I said shit. But really, that's how I feel. But you know what? Despite feeling like crap, I'm going to change the word. I am giddy beside myself. That doesn't make sense. To be speaking with Alex from Create and Go. He's one half of this like powerhouse empire, blogging empire. And I want to pick his brain in the way that usually people charge you for because time is money. I didn't even do an intro really because I was like, no, man, like we don't want to like waste time. So Alex, thank you so much for spending some time with me today here on the show. That almost sounded awkward in a different way, and that's okay. That's okay because I'm not well today and my words are all over the place.
You're a little besides yourself, right?
Having
an existential crisis kind of besides yourself.
I'm besides myself. I'm having a moment and I might be mildly fangirling too, actually. And as we get into this conversation, you'll see why. Because these two people, humans, have done something pretty cool and we're going to get into it. So Alex, if you could please introduce yourself while I get all verklempt listening to you share your story, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I guess I gotta hype it up now. That was quite an intro, right?
That's how I do.
That's how you do, how we roll. So my name is Alex and I am a professional blogger. So let's see here. Let's roll it back to 2015 real quick. 2015, very frustrated with my job, frustrated with just sort of the typical American dream of life. And always felt like there was more, there's less money than there was month. I always liked that quote. It didn't seem to feel like we were ever getting ahead. Lauren, my co-founder and I, and we were really struggling at the time to find a personal fulfillment and these sorts of things. I always just felt like we were just chasing like the next thing that was in front of us, the next weekend, the next party, the next social event. And it was frustrating. That's the best word I could think to describe it was at the time. It was just super frustrating for us. And so we were like, so I went to this conference and what happened is I saw a bunch of successful entrepreneurs, a bunch of people working online. And, you know, I'd always had interest in it and always been playing around with some online stuff, but it really got me re-inspired to doing something. And so what happened is I started working on a website. I had no idea what I was working on at the time was a blog. All I knew was I'm going to make a website. Hopefully people are going to show up and buy things. And that was like pretty much the strategy at the beginning. I start working on this website about 2 months in and I'm creating some piece of a graphic or I believe it was like an ebook or a picture and just miserably trying to create this image. And Lauren, was there at the time and just saw me and was like, you need help with that. Like, I think I do. And she just kind of like moved my chair over from the computer. Was like, let me play around with that. And so, you know, of course, like within, you know, 2-3 minutes, I think she's created something better than I had spent hours and hours on. So I was like, okay, you can help with these things. And we started a business together. The first business we had was called healthandhappyhour.com. It was all about being healthy and enjoying a young professional life. That blog essentially failed, though. It did not succeed, and there's plenty of reasons for that. Went on to start another blog called avocado.com. It's a healthy living blog for women, and that blog did very well. Started to gain some traffic, started to gain some readers and subscribers, and around December of 2015, Lauren and I had decided we're going to quit our jobs and just try to go all in. Like what would be, I think we got to this point where we were just like, you know, the worst thing that happens is that we go back, you know, that we try this for a year and we really give it our all And then we go back to where we are now, which is frustrated. And that it seemed to be a smarter decision than staying and doing what we're doing. So we quit our jobs, went all in. When we went all in blogging, we literally sold all our things. We sold all our possessions. We literally packed everything into 5 bags. I still have the photo of all of our everything to our name. And we just went all in. And when we went all in, things started to really happen. Fast forward through some of it, we started doubling our income every month. We weren't making any money before we quit. So we started making our first dollars when we quit, and our income started to double, started to grow. Avocado eventually went to 10 grand a month, and we were giddy about that. We were amazed at that alone. But what happened during that time of building that, it was so frustrating. It was so hard to get good advice from people. It always felt like we were getting scammed and ripped off, and people just like were saying that they knew everything about email marketing or everything about this or that, and they just didn't know crap. Well, you know, so you don't have to bleep out that one, but I didn't feel like they knew. And so we just felt really called and compelled, like, we're going to start, our own site called Create and Go and teach people how to do this the right way. Obviously, we're also compelled by money for those reasons. But at the time, Avocado had grown and was doing 20 grand, 30 grand a month. And during the time we started growing this other blog called Create and Go, today our lives are pretty crazy. We work when we want to, we make over 100 grand per month blogging. Most of it is, I wouldn't call it totally passive, but it's definitely not bound to hours. I like to work, Lauren likes to work, so we continue to work on it. And our lives have been forever changed by this goofy thing people did back in 2005 called blogging. And I'd love to share more info about it. That's my story.
That's his story. He's sticking to it and he's not changing it. So I'm going to ask a couple of questions because as you were speaking, I was wondering about a couple of things. So the first thing is, when you say that you went all in, what does going all in What does that mean exactly? So did you like take your 5 suitcases and go to some random cheap country with really good living and just work all day on blog posts, or like really break that down for the person who thinks that going all in is like writing a blog post a day, or what was that?
For sure. So going all in for us was completely burning all the bridges behind us. It was selling all of our things, moving into my dad's house, actually, in Seattle, and working from there. And the reason why we moved was because we were so distracted, because we lived in uptown Dallas and everybody was constantly, hey, come to this, hey, do that. It was really hard to say no. And it was much easier for us to just be like, we're gone. So you can't call us. And so that was all in for us. Like, and then waking up every day, like putting in tons and tons and tons of hours into it. That was going all in for us.
So were you waking up like with a clock? I'm going to get really like, very, very 5 o'clock doing your your miracle morning, get your exercise in, and then you put in 8 hours a day. Cause I know other people who run $100,000 a month blog. I'm trying to figure out if there's something that is a commonality between all of you guys.
Right. So the big one for us, so that waking up early, the exact thing I used to do before we quit, before we went all in, was so I would have personal training clients at about 7:30, 7 o'clock, sometimes 6:30. And I would set my alarm for 5 a.m., sometimes 4:30. And I would throw everything in a bag and stumble to a local Starbucks. And I would drink enormous amounts of coffee and write. And that was what we did. But when we quit and we went all in, these weren't 8 hours days. They were 12-hour, 16-hour days. They were, you woke up and you worked. And you continued to work and you continued to work and you continued to work until you just couldn't look at the computer any longer. And then you would watch a little bit of Netflix and then you'd go and you'd work. That was it.
How did you know what to work on? Like, I know you're creating a lot of content within the context of that conversation and that focus, but how did you know what you were working on was the right thing?
You ask really great questions. I'm enjoying
this. You're nosy.
You are.
I'm totally nosy.
Tell me what you worked on.
Bruh, yeah, so this is like a free masterclass, listeners, so you better be writing down notes, and then you need to get his course later, but that's a conversation for later on in the show.
I love this. I really do. So that was a good lesson that we learned back from Health and Happy Hours, that we had learned that just creating things just to create them doesn't necessarily drive tons of people to your website or make sales. So what we worked on and what we focused on were the things that we got responses back from. Originally, avocado was this giant spread of information, right? So it was just everything from recipes to yoga to healthy living to weight loss to almost any topic you can imagine in the health field. And we just listened to what people were responding to. So we saw that tons of people were interested in our take on yoga. They were really interested in the fact that we were talking about yoga, not from a spiritual aspect, but from a, hey, you can lose weight with this, with paired with a great diet. Kind of here's how you do it. And so we worked on the things that we got the responses back and the positive feedback from. The hard part about blogging or business is that it's an A to Z thing, right? So it is... There's this really cute idea that, oh my gosh, if you just do this one thing and you do it really well, all the dominoes fall. It's a lie. So like the blogging is like an A to Z thing. You have to know from step A, your target audience or who you're trying to reach, all the way to step Z is this, somebody who loves your product so much, they're telling their friends and family about it. So like every single step in between B, C, D, talking about headlines, writing a great blog post, uploading images are all skills that one has to learn in order to be successful. So it's this process of working through these skills and understanding what skill you need next. So if you're not getting a lot of people visiting your blog, right, the skill you need to work on is traffic, right? Like, so analyzing where you're at and working on said skill. If you're terrible at WordPress, you need to spend some time and go do a course on WordPress. That was our mentality.
What conference did you go to that sparked this interest? Like, was it social media marketing world? Like what even got you interested into this, what even got you interested in online anything?
Yeah, the first time was 2010. I was in college and yeah. I was studying business and I was like, this is boring. I don't know if this is what I want to do. And I read the 4-Hour Workweek and I was like, that sounds like a better idea to me. And that was really what started it. So I bounced around for a long time at different places, but that was the original mind virus that was put in there that spread and fostered me into an entrepreneur. The other thing was, the book was called The Millionaire Fastlane. Super, super cheesy book title, amazing book. And the forum was a forum for people who had read the book and they all went to this meetup together. I got invited by one of my personal training clients who had also read the book and was super excited about the forum. I wasn't even on the forum. The funny thing was, is that I didn't go. I really was not planning to go. 100% just didn't want to do it, blah, blah, blah. Just seems like a lot of stress and anxiety to me. And what happened was at the last week, I decided, okay, I'm going to go to this thing. Fine. And then I go, and actually my buddy ends up backing out at the last second for this crazy story where he like had got called up by this Silicon Valley startup and had like a mental breakdown.
Whoa.
I'm not kidding. Like had like a mental breakdown and like all this stuff. But so I show up at this conference and he's not answering his phone and he is not there. And I know nobody. And I'm just like, well, sink or swim. We'll just try to figure this out. And yeah, but the people there were super, super generous and grateful and kind, even to the outcast of the group for sure. But it was more, I didn't get anything like exact from it. There was no tactic that I saw on there that, oh, well, I need to start on Pinterest. It wasn't that. It was seeing and interacting with other people who were doing creative things that really re-inspired me and reinvigorated for me for like hey, like, I really want to do this online thing, and I want to stop being a personal trainer and stop trading hours for dollars.
You know, it's so funny. So I used to work at a university, and one of my student assistants, because I was a little older than my student assistants. One day she brings in the 4-hour work week for me. And I'm still friends with all of these guys to this day. Like, we've become great friends. And I was like, what is this bullshit that you're giving me? Like, what is this book? Right? Like, I love her to death. And I should talk to her, like, meet her up for coffee because she lives down the road. But anyway, she gives me this book because she just knows. I'm like, this hours for, what is this that I'm doing? Like, this is a disaster. And, she gives me this book, but I just did not like the book. Like, it didn't all come together for me, right? Until several years later, and I was like, oh, I kind of get it. But part of the reason why I didn't like the book was I feel like I was left with a lack of clarity on what he did. Like, it was just this on the surface kind of, you know, I did this, that, and the other, but I'm not going to say any of the this, that, and the other that I did. And it wasn't leading, I don't remember it leading to a course or a resource that I could use to actually learn to do what he did.
Yeah. So
it was a bit of a turnoff, similar to Your Money or Your Life, where I was like, why did I read an entire book that was just an index card, which is, do you want to trade hours of your life for money? Like, that, I mean, pretty much that's an index card, you know, a 3x5, and the answer is no. So,
I love your honesty about that. The palm tree on the cover didn't sell you. That was,
no, you know, like, whatever. I like living in the mountains. Like, I don't care about palm trees. Like, unless it's Miami, we could do that. But so I didn't get excited about it until later.
What sparked you? What was the,
well, part of it was I knew people who were doing it. And, but the thing was, for me, I had mentioned very briefly before we started that I attend a conference called FinCon. And FinCon is for people in the personal finance space, people who geek out about paying off their debt or growing income, that kind of thing. When I started in that community was the second year that they were meeting, the second year that they held a conference, and that was held in Denver. I won't get into the whole, like, magical story of how, like, I found out that it was in Denver, and I fangirled because all my favorite blogger people were there, and I was, like, meant to go because it was only $100, and I could walk there. But at the time, even though they were doing this online thing, no one was doing it to make money. So they were just blogging to share their stories. So when I got into blogging about, I was just sharing a story. There was no intention of making money or anything like that. I was just like, my money's a mess. My life sucks. Everything's horrible. And I just want to share this with you in case you're a person out there that needs to understand that you're not the only one who's having these problems because of this, that, and the other, right? Mm-hmm. Over time, a lot of people started, like, as their money got cleaned up and things like that, and they're doing this online thing, they started discovering they could make money. And then they were like, oh, wait a minute now. Like, we were broke and we cleaned that up, and now we're starting to make money with this online thing. And wow, there's something to this. So people that I know from that space, Holly from Club Thrifty and Michelle mm-hmm. Schroeder Gardner from Making Sense of Sense, and there's a long list of people. They started differently than I think, say, someone in 2019 who starts a blog.
Right.
And so I think for me, it's been interesting because I'm at that point where I'm like, you know, I want to make money with this, but because of how I started, I feel like sometimes I spin my wheels a little bit. A little different this year, but before that. So that was a meanderingly long-winded, I don't know where I was going with that, but now I do. For people who've been blogging or in the online space for a while who never initially intended to make money, but have decided to kind of tweak their focus and make money, what do you recommend for them to do? Or what are your observations about what they can do better? You can make this as broad or narrow as you want.
Yeah. The big one that I see, like, with people like that is, like, it's the intent of the content that they create is very important. So when you are blogging just for your, you know, your personal self, or for your lifestyle, or for, you know, just sharing things that you want to share with the world. There's a different kind of content that needs to be created if you're going to speak to the heart of somebody who will eventually purchase a product from you or something like that. And that's usually that you're speaking in a way that is solving people's problems. So everybody in the world has problems, and they get typed in all the time into search engines, into Pinterest, into Google, into YouTube, and into everywhere. And if you want to start transitioning your way from starting, you know, just a regular blog to actually starting to make money, is starting to create the content that other people need, and to really focus in on the content that can make you an income. So what we call it is called sales-centered content. Is this principle of, you know, going back to Avocado back in the day, right? We're writing all these articles about different topics and different things. And what we learned is some really, really valuable lessons. Like, first off, if I had an article on, let's say, healthy recipes, and I put an opt-in on healthy recipes for how to get your best body with yoga. Those two, while they are kind of the same, are not, right? The person who is visiting that recipe article really is there for recipes. The yoga thing is like, oh, it's like interesting. That's not why they're there though, right? Versus me creating an article very tailored to like yoga, like the 5 best yoga poses for back pain, and then having a yoga opt-in on that thing, and then selling a yoga product. Right, this sort of funneling of content and this focusing of content around an end goal for your user, which is usually to make money, is like the most important part of the process. It's the thing that most people miss. Mm. They're trying to like mix and match messages, right? So like, you write on something like, you know, how to find out your credit score, and then like in that article is maybe a personal finance like opt-in that is sort of related to that content, but is not like that specific thing. It's all about this creation of this sales-centered content that will take your blog from being, you know, just something casual or casually making money to something that can produce quite a bit of income.
What did your, no, you know what? I don't want to ask that. I'm not going there. Are you currently in a mastermind group? And if you are, what do you recommend to other people in terms of join? Like, do you recommend that people join one, even if they haven't really gone all in with their project that they're working on?
See, I can't speak to it because I've never joined one. It's been like a thing for me where, it's really difficult because I don't like, you know, you want to find people who like you really can connect with and stuff like that. And I do find that process pretty difficult, finding like the select group of people. So like, there are like big masterminds that I've thought about and like have had like, I wonder if that would be super helpful. And I know other really successful entrepreneurs all say things like, yeah, this mastermind really helped me and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, Michelle, like my whole goal with blogging was like to provide a life of freedom and to provide a life of, fulfillment in myself and help other people find that same life and that same passion. And so like my end goal at the end of the day, and so is Lauren, isn't to be the next like Lewis House. It's just 100% not. Like, I just don't care to take it that far. You know, like, I don't want to be the next Gary Vaynerchuk. I want to be the next like Sam Colder, the next like, you know, person creating like really cool, like interesting things. And so like, I think that's why I have it, because I do feel like if I joined a mastermind, you know, like it would push me in that direction of like, we need more and more, you know, more. To be honest, like right now what we do and what we have is beyond plenty. Like, we're still trying to grow, but does that make sense? I don't want to ramble.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
It's kind of a hippie answer, but I love it.
It's totally hippie. It's totally like this is it's as crunchy as I will ever get. I'm the opposite of crunch.
And yeah, so, I'm surprised a Texan is this crunchy. I grew up in Boulder, so, so I'm like, this is speaking to me. You know, this is totally speaking to me, Alex. But I'm surprised that you've actually said it this way. So I like it a lot. I don't know that my goal with anything is to do anything other than to help people and go hiking and keep it simple. You know,
we need to go hiking sometime, Michelle.
Heck yeah. I want people that like people come to Colorado. I'm like, come over, let's do this. And I'm serious. Like that's something I'm very serious about.
Oh, I love
it. So, excuse me. I sound better than I thought I would actually. I am curious about why you decided to create your course. If you could talk about the course, how it's an extension of your blog, that would be awesome. Because I definitely want, I want to say the specific course that I'm very, it's the one that Natalie Bacon, excuse me.
Ooh, six-figure blogger. Yes.
Yes. So I'm actually very curious about why you started building courses, plural, and specifically the six-figure blogger course, and just kind of what went into deciding this was a good thing to do. I'm assuming you probably got a lot of questions about what you were doing, and it was sucking up your time, but I'm not going to assume anything. So what's the deal? Why the courses?
Yeah, so first off, the multiple courses were just this. I wouldn't call it a mistake. It was just like this. You know, we started with what we knew. So we were like really good at Pinterest, like driving 500,000 monthly visitors to our blogs. And we were just like, well, we looked around at other Pinterest courses and I said, either they're not high quality enough or the people seem to charge too much. Mm. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to create a Pinterest course that is premium quality, but is reasonably priced. And so that was the original thing. Then, you know, you have all these people on Pinterest and then they're like, oh, well, so like, how do we make money? And so, and I was like, all right, well, I guess I create something else. And so then we created Six Figure Blogger. And I honestly thought Six Figure Blogger was like kind of it. I thought maybe like we'd create one other one. We've ended up with four. And so then Six Figure Blogger was created. Now, Six Figure Blogger was this idea. Honestly, when Create and Go started, we didn't know who we were speaking to. So okay. Six Figure Blogger was like this very advanced course where it was like, here's why you have a blog and have traffic and are making a little bit of income, but not a lot. And we just like hammered it home. And I feel like still to this day hit a home run with that thing. It is massive. It is time intensive. And it is not one of those things that leaves stones unturned. I don't know how that analogy is supposed to go. No stone left unturned, so leaving the stones. Yeah, okay. I think it works. So we created this course, and it was all about creating your own digital products and services and using email marketing funnels to do that and to build trust with your audience, do it in a way that's not salesy, not slimy, and to sell products and make that into a passive income kind of funnel on your website. So like we had to go like, that was what, you know, that's when like sales-centered content was like, I finally verbalized like, oh, that's why this worked on Avocado, and then created that, and then into the email funnel, into the products, into like email launches. And we gave people, you know, it's been cool. It's been really fun. You know, we've had people like literally just take our templates, implement them to their audience, and like, hey, I made like $2,000 off our first thing. So they 10x'd what they paid for the course. And you're wow. Like, oh, that's pretty awesome. But then, you know, then we go back and we realize, oh, we're speaking like all these highfalutin bloggers. We need to speak. Many of the people have no idea about anything and they're just lost about creating a blog. The questions that we'd get from people, what is WordPress? And like, you know, like stuff like that. And I was like, oh my God, what have we done? So it was like, okay. So then we created Launcher Blog, and Launcher Blog has been like, a Launcher Blog is insane. Like we have just a crazy amount of people go through that course. And it just literally holds your hand through, hey, you got started with Bluehost, or hey, you got started with SiteGround, or whatever. And here is exactly how to build it step by step. Start your first email list. You know, here's 10 pieces of content to create. Then Make Money Blogging for Beginners then came after that, because people in Launcher Blog were so basic that six-figure blogger was too much for them. Like, it was like, it would terrify them. And so I was like, okay. So then we created Make Money Blogging for Beginners in the middle. So now we have this just mishmash of courses, and we're working on the organization of said courses. But that was why. And six-figure blogger is essentially like for advanced bloggers only.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. And I guess that also makes, it also makes sense why you have the Pro Blogger Bundle. Yes. Because then you can walk people through the genesis of their blog's life. Exactly. And their blogging life as well, if you will.
For sure. We wanted to be, you know, a bandersnatch. I wanted you to be able to pick your own adventure, you know, so because some people come to us and they're middle of the road, right? They've made their first $1,000 or blah, 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 and want to really take things to the next level. So six-figure blogger is great. But what we've kind of learned as Create and Go has grown is that we really, because we talk about money, we attract a very big audience of complete beginners. And honestly, like straight up, I feel very that I can be authentic and be like that on this show. Straight up with like six-figure blogger, and not to bring like negativity towards things, but I've had so many people like take what we've done and try to and copy it exactly. Just yank straight up like what we do, and in a very unshameless way where you're just like, wow, that is bold. And
like to sell your content in their own courses.
Yeah, for sure.
That's shady. Yeah.
And just a lot of stuff like that, which is a complete beat down to like people who are like really trying to like help others. It's like, wow, like that hurts. But you know, so that's why, you know, teaching those like supremely advanced bloggers, while I do enjoy it, I don't enjoy that aspect of it. So only later on did Create and Go like really narrow in on its target audience. And yeah, we really want to speak towards like these newbies who are like fresh faced and looking to start and looking for, you know, a guru or a guide to help them along.
What is life like now? And I guess, you know, the other day, okay, this is funny. So the other day I was randomly like streaming a movie and it happened to be Wanted. You know that movie Wanted?
Did it just pop up on your Netflix? Because I feel like it popped up on mine.
Yeah. Office Space and Wanted were actually, this is where my head was at by the time I left my job. I was like, I'm so burnt out. I hate everybody. And the thing is, at my old job, I could go hiking for 2 hours in the day during the, like, not even I could. I would go hiking for 2 hours during the day because I was just so over it. I was like, I'm going hiking in Chautauqua. And I'll be back. And they're like, okay. And then I'd like come back and the next day and be like, I'm gonna go to Core Power and I'll be back. And so this was like my last year of work where I was so over it, right? And I was like watching movies such as Wanted and Office Space, like I was just over it. And reenacting certain scenes in my mind where I just left, and yeah, so it was bad. It was bad towards the end. And I had this idea that one day I would make money online and it would be all amazing and whatever. But I didn't understand that I was so burnt out that I didn't have like the energy to even do that first. Or I didn't have the energy to focus on that kind of a project. So I guess what I want to speak to is the kind of energy that you need to really focus on building up, because you've built a business, whether it's bricks or mortar or online or whatever. Could you talk about just the kind of energy and focus that people really need to be prepared to have when they're building something like this? Because when you do a bricks and mortar, people talk to you face to face. With digital, it's like analytics and metrics speak to you. So could you kind of, you know where I'm going with that? Could you talk about the energy behind how you can build something like this up and self-care, whatever it is? I learned the hard way that I was trying to do one project too many. So I was working on debt repayment, and in retrospect, I was like, that's one huge big ass project that these other two things I'm trying to do, I can't, it's hard to focus on. So you can focus like on two things, but you can't do three. It's impossible, I think, in the beginning. So just if you could speak to that mindset and focus, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, for sure. So like, again, great point, you know, where you can't, can I say ass on this show?
Are yes, because you okay. just did.
Okay. it's like don't half-ass a bunch of things, whole-ass one thing.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. I love that thought process and that mentality. The truth about it is that expectations are everything. So when I was a personal trainer, one of the most valuable lessons I learned really quickly was that if you got a new client and I said, hey, you know, first month's always great for everybody. You probably lose like 10 pounds. It's going to be awesome. You're going to feel fitter, blah, blah, blah. What would happen is like the client, you know, most clients would lose that weight, but you'd have a client like lose 9 pounds and they would come to you at the end of the month, like just dejected, like somebody kicked their puppy and say like, oh man, well, I only lost 9 pounds. Right. But if I reversed the scenario and did it all again, I said, hey, we're not going to focus on the scale too much. We're just going to focus on making you feel good. These types of things, right? No real goals at the beginning. Let's just start out. And we got to the end of the month. That same person would walk in like, you know, like they just won, you know, the PGA tournament and go with their hands in the air, like, I lost 9 pounds. So expectations are everything, 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 everything. And so when you're talking about something like, hey, how much sacrifice or how much work is this going to take? It's going to take an enormous amount, because what you are doing, the big difference between what we teach and what I see other people teach is that there is a catechism between building a business and building a brand versus building a hack or a trick or a technique. What a lot of people do is they teach you how to build, when you create this funnel with this upsell and blah, blah, this is a hack, right? A brand or a business is something that people like can trust in and know you and believe in. You know, Nike doesn't sell shoes, you know, because they always make the best shoe. They may sell because of that brand, right? Because that swoosh means something to people. So like, because you are building a business and a brand, and that is where I would want you to go, you have to prepare yourself and buckle in, because it is going to be a lot of time and a lot of work. And if you don't feel like you are able to give that an enormous amount of energy at the beginning towards it, I would say don't. I would say wait until you feel like you can, because you will get beaten up. Because there's just, you know, like you said, it's data, it's analytical, which can be a joy and a pleasure for some people. But for many people, personable people, you know, it will feel like you're like working in a dungeon all day, right? Because you're not talking to anybody and you're alone on your computer. And because of that, like, those expectations at the beginning are so important. So unless you are ready and willing to put in a ton of time and effort, unless your frustration with what you do has reached such a level that you're like, I will do anything to get out, then I would say, take it easy. You know, like don't try to build this thing in a year. We built it super fast as well, you know, so like that was a thing. We built up to 100 grand our first year, but like, you could still start it, just like have the right expectation. Don't be like, if you're going to start this thing casually, don't be like, well, I'm not at 100 grand in my first, you know, year. Easy, pump the brakes. Like, you started this as like a side thing, you know, take your time, go with it, you know, do it right, build your business, build your brand, but you know, take it easy and be okay with not reaching amazing levels at the beginning. That's what I would tell people. That expectation is so important. And unless the only way that you should be frustrated by like, I'm not making 10 grand a month is if you are putting in an obnoxious amount of effort in and you're not getting the rewards back, which I know sometimes people feel like they are, but sometimes they have the wrong plan. But does that make sense? Is all that,
absolutely,
all that clear?
Absolutely. And we're wrapping up. I think one of the things I tend to wonder with successful entrepreneurs is, what kind of advice did you get from other people? So sometimes you get advice from a person who has nothing to do with the business that you built, but their piece of advice was like the thing. What advice did you get as you were like, hey, Dad, I'm going to quit everything and live in your house. Like sell everything and come back. So what kind of advice did you get as you decided to take this leap of faith, really?
Yeah. Well, so as we took the leap of faith, one of the funny things was at the beginning, the reaction from our friends and family was all kind of the same, was like, we're scared for you. Are you sure you should do that? But it had this very underlying tone of like, I wish we had did that.
Wow.
And that was a very consistent thing. And when I look for like successful people or successful entrepreneurs, I look for like, not hints, almost like nuggets of these, almost like these little moments. One of the big moments that I saw is one that I hear consistently among every successful person I've ever met, is that at some point in life, people will be telling you, you work too hard. It is a great barometer towards like, this person is probably going to be insanely successful. Like we talked about Natalie Bacon, that's, you know, and she's just
works hard.
Superstar. Right. And like, and that's one of those things is like, you know, like she's, you know, consistently, you know, heard that message. Like that's like those are the things like that I look for.
Yeah, it did. And could you describe what life is like now? Like what's your day look like? What do you guys do? I'm nosy. Tell me.
So where we are now is I'm in Austin and Lauren is in actually Bolivia right now with the tribe. Yeah.
What's she doing in Bolivia? What?
There's this group called the Wi-Fi tribe. And so like they like travel around and they're all like freelance based or internet based like entrepreneurs. She's living at one of our friend's house named Diego out there in Bolivia, and it's gorgeous. And go stalk her Instagram.
Totally will.
Yeah. And I am out here in Austin, Texas. And it is like, so work is like, it follows like a consistent rhythm for me. Like I work, you know, I set limits for myself. So like I will work, you know, till 2 o'clock maximum, you know, most days. I'm whittling that down right now. We're automating a lot of the processes we do to working like a couple hours a day is kind of what we want. And then we spend the rest of our time, on our passions or on the things that are, more fun than just work. Obviously we find fulfillment in what we do, but, there's just a certain amount of hours that I want to spend, glued to a computer. And there's a certain amount of hours that I want to spend doing other things. So really typical wake up, I drink the same cold brew coffee drink every morning, with a little bit of half and half in water. I
thought you were going to be like, I do my bulletproof coffee every morning.
No.
Like, I'm not drinking butter coffee.
Butter coffee? Are you sure?
I'm not about that life. I like butter, though, and I like coffee, but I don't want to put them together.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little exhausting. Dave Asprey. I could go on. Anyway, I make a little list, you know, on my list today is email and Slack, and I'm putting together a Murphy bed today, which is in construction behind me. Facebook groups.
You're putting a Murphy bed together?
Yeah. I really like, what, really like what, building.
How small is your house?
It's not small. It's for the spare bedroom.
A Murphy bed.
In my office, yeah. That's a nice Murphy bed.
No, like I think it's cool, but I just, you know, I think Murphy bed New York City, not Murphy bed Austin, Texas.
You know, it's in my office, so I want the extra room to roam. I need to be able to wheel around and pace back and forth in here, Michelle.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, fine. So you're putting together the Murphy bed in a giant place in Austin. Okay. Do you like go bike riding, or I imagine you have fitness time and, mm-hmm. I'm also projecting because I imagine what my life would be in Austin, which would be eating ridiculous amounts of barbecue because Colorado is gifted at a lot of things, but we have good barbecue, but it's like you have to kind of figure out where it is, and that's too much work.
For sure, for sure.
So good. Texas, I'd be eating a lot of barbecue. It'd be like 30 pounds heavier.
Are you a big taco fan? There's some.
Hell yeah, I'm a taco fan.
Boop, amazing boop. Tacos out here in Austin. They're crazy about
I'm
it.
I'm all about taco life. And the occasional like margarita to match with said taco.
I like it. I will have a beer with mine, but we okay. can certainly share in that endeavor.
Okay. Okay.
The taco game is solid out here.
Actually, my next trip to Texas is to go to Marfa, Texas. That's like on my like agenda.
It's funny, I've never been, but people just like people
I'm like out obsessed. I'm yeah. weirdly freakishly obsessed with the idea of going and getting a picture at the Prada building
right.
because I like Prada, but I don't buy Prada stuff. But I just like it. So that's my. For listeners, in case you're like, what is Michelle talking? Just Google Marfa and you'll understand. You know how I am.
Yeah, Google that random Prada store. It's quite a sight to look at.
It's so cool. So if people are looking to follow you, to buy the course, one of your courses, depending on where they are in their journey, how can they find you and how can they follow and support what you do?
For sure. So like we are blogging at createandgo.com. That is where we teach everybody all of our goodness. A few resources that people find very helpful. The first one is our YouTube channel.
So I
started doing YouTube videos like 3 years ago, like or 2 years ago, 3-ish years ago. So like
Alex, there's no link on your website to your YouTube. What's going on with that?
There isn't. Let
me look. No, bro.
I think it's at the bottom of the page.
Yeah, but that's confusing. You need a link at the above the head, above the fold. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was wondering if you had a podcast actually, and I thought no, that's too much work. But
you're starting to know me so well.
Yeah, Michelle. Like I mean, like just based on this conversation, like you're not about that podcast life. But no. You need a direct link to your YouTube at above the fold. I never would have noticed that.
It's interesting. That's good. That's good feedback.
I'm just saying.
We have this YouTube channel has like quite a few subs, I feel like. And
yeah, but I mean, some people are weird like me and still go to your website.
Oh, totally. Totally.
Oh my God. That's me on your YouTube. Sorry, everybody. So now that I know it's there, like, you know, I'm going to be a subscriber. So
good.
They've got 54,000 subscribers plus me. So that's, you know.
54,001.
Yeah. So it grew.
I like it. I'm paying attention to the
account
right now.
All right. So everyone, I hope you were excited, inspired, like ready to go check out all the things. By the way, your courses are very affordable. Can I just like just say that?
It was done purposely.
I think it's freaking awesome because I do find that some courses have gotten very expensive out there. Just because you can charge money doesn't mean you always have to charge that much money, but that's a whole nother conversation.
For sure. I got a whole rant about $2,000 courses if we want to go through it sometime.
That we will, that's for our next podcast episode. I feel like that's a whole other conversation. So thank you so, so much for taking time out of your day to share what you guys are doing. I'm really excited to watch what you're doing. And I feel like this was a great conversation for me to have at this time that I'm in right now for my own business. So you've left me feeling very inspired and excited. Weirdly enough, summer is when I work the hardest. It's like the ant and the grasshopper weirdness. Get your coins in the summer so you don't starve to death in the winter. So it's a good time for me to take some of that wisdom and encouragement and inspiration and run with it. So thank you. I appreciate it. And just the best of luck with everything moving forward.
I appreciate you. Thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.